Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I don't wait on people. I don't stay after dinner. Not after it begins to get dark. I leave before dark comes.
We live in town. 9 miles, so there won't be anyone around if you need help. We couldn't even hear you in the night. No one could. No one lives any nearer than town. No one will come any nearer than that. In the night. In the dark.
It's make the dinner or answer the door.
This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello. And welcome to FilmSack. This is FilmSack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. This is episode 623. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by Brian. He's a small price to pay for such savage kicks done away.
Oh, my savage kicks. Look at them. They're so 90s.
Hubba, hubba.
Oh, hi. You like my calf muscles? You like those? Hubba, hubba. Oh, hi. This week on FilmSack, we find ourselves in the haunting of our lives when we get an unsolicited curly cable kitchen phone call from HBO Max to open up our Dead as Mama media to the classifieds of horror fantasy from 1999 and finger our way down to an ad for a Scooby-Doo without the Doo style mansion sleepover party adventure. And all it costs is 5 gallons of gas to cure our well-earned insomnia. And we would have gotten away with it, too, if it weren't for you meddling kids and your stupid dog. This movie really needs a stupid dog and a hungry stoner. And all we got was Owen Wilson. Wow. Anywho, I'm your housekeeper. Breakfast is ready at 9. I don't stay after dinner. Not after it begins to get dark. I live in town with my lover, groundskeeper Bruce Dern. 9 miles. That's how far it is to watch me and Bruce Dern get dirty after keeping it clean all day. So there won't be anyone around if you need help from groundskeeper Bruce Dern and myself in the night, in the dark, naked, touching parts, hiding stuff and stuff. Now enjoy your creepy haunted cherub head shelves. They like to watch. I won't tell you how I know, but it involves Bruce Dern in the night, in the dark, naked, touching. Randy, hand me my eye cup. My eye is starting to bleed. Gross.
Eye cup. Oh my gosh, dude, you're killing me this morning.
I got
nicely done. Also with us, Randy, he leaves before dark. Jordan, we got a theme today.
Aloha, Scott, Brian.
Randy.
And thank you for your interest in going out to a massive castle/mansion/village-sized compound and spending a couple of nights there for money. Okay, you got me already. It's a week. It's not a couple nights. It's a week. I know that's a long time, but I'm offering $900 for the week. And that's 1999 money. In today's money, that's a weekly rate of like 20 gallons of gasoline, guys. It's real good money. And you know you want it, even though you don't really know anything about what's going to go down at Chateau Gigantique. Did I mention the house is big? It's big enough to contain a funhouse mirror room that has like 6 carousels. Who even does that? Oh, I'll tell you. Paranormal spirits. That's who. And you're going to survive them as long as, gosh, this feels exactly like last week. Three rules. Number one, when you arrive at the place you're going to be sleeping and there's a big padlocked gate, you might stop to think about your next step. But when the crazy old man shows up and says some crazy old man shit, you just leave. Just leave. Mm-hmm. Number two, everyone knows you don't sleep in a bed that has barbed murder stalactites hanging above it. So don't do that. I mean, barbed murder stalactites fall down and kill like 14,000 people a year. Don't be a statistic. Number three, remember, when you're the only person who can see the murderous spirits, all you have to do to get rid of them is go have sex with someone. Then that person becomes the one being pursued. Have sex with the annoying one, of course. You could also choose the ugly one or the dumb one. Good news, all Owen Wilson.
It's all the same guy.
No, I see where it went. I see where it went.
Or Mobius. Wow.
He'll be all right. Very well done. Finally with us, Brian, I think your pillow might be a live Ibbot.
Ooh, the My Pillow. Yeah. All right. Decided for this this week, I would go a little Spartan. Oh wait, this isn't Spartan. This is madness. Father brought us here to work. Our laughter in this house would fill, but we died in the cotton mill. Burned us up in the fireplace. Trapped forever in this space, we can't ever leave. Hill House, in the middle of nowhere. Hill House, in the middle of nowhere. Hill House, there's new friends here. A group of new folks just arrive and they plan to study fear. The caretaker's such a witch, but they live 9 miles away. They don't ever stay. Hill House, we don't mean to cause a scare. Hill House, we just want to braid your hair. Hill House, see our faces carved in wood. Hill House, carousel room can't be good. Hill House, in the middle of nowhere. Now we got a mom again, mirror image Carolyn. We could have such a very good time, such a fine time, such a happy time. And it would be, oh, such a treat. Ghosting through the regular sheets. Stop Ukraine and nothing could come between us. You'll free us. Hill House. Swinging flu will take your head. Hill House. You'll say wow and you'll be dead. Hill House. Spiral staircase acrobat. Hill House. You'll hold on or you'll go splat. Hill House. In the middle of nowhere.
Wow.
Where?
Wow. I love the backing track. That's my favorite
part. Yeah, that was great. I picture three of you in dresses. Is that weird?
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly the way we did that song.
Yep. Okay. Yep. That was a great pick.
Why dresses, by the
19th
way?
19th century bedwear that you wear to
bed. Oh, yes. Actually, yes. With
yeah, I don't know why I picture dresses. Well, yeah. I picture backup singers, and I immediately think of ladies in dresses. I don't know why.
Oh, yeah. You're like, gotcha.
Yeah, that's why. So you're forever
the
Ronettes that.
Or the Supremes or, yeah. Uh-huh.
Exactly. Yeah. Even though most of the time I think they wore like sequiny pants and stuff, but I still picture the dress for some reason.
Well, a little tight skirt dress, one-piece thingies, yeah.
Hubba hubba.
Yeah.
all right. We are talking about the film The Haunting. And as our Sacktober continues down the road, let's let fake Scott Fletcher explain more about this film.
The Haunting.
Yeah.
A study in fear escalates into a heart-stopping nightmare for a professor and three subjects trapped in a mysterious mansion. Owen Wilson is in this. Wow. Also, hello again, Lily Taylor. And enjoy post Schindler's yeah. List, pre-taken Liam Neeson. Oh, and lots of bad CGI.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
That's interesting. It's interesting that pre-taken, you know, because he's pre-Qui-Gon Liam Neeson as well.
Oh, it's pre lots of stuff.
Well, yeah. No, he's current Qui-Gon because it was same year, so he would have been
99. Yeah.
Yeah, I think in fact, maybe 6 months as Qui-Gon Jinn, probably something like that. I think the summer movie would have been Star Wars. This would have been the fall, but. But yeah, you're looking at a Liam Neeson in transition, I think. He's going from, you know, your Schindler's List a few years prior to this business. And then on the other side of this, just in a few short years, he will make nothing but vengeance-filled Taken-esque films.
Yes.
For the rest of his time.
Take me along for the trip, Liam Neeson.
Yeah, I don't, and this is not, by the way, a negative. I love those movies, so I'm all in on his weird decision to make this the last leg of his career, because I'm happy with it. It's great.
I think there's an interesting decision anytime you cast someone with this accent in a movie about a house, because they repeatedly call it a heist.
The heist is haunted. The heist is haunted.
Heist.
Here's the thing, though. Why do you suppose he got to keep his accent, but Catherine Zeta-Jones didn't get to do hers? What happened there?
I think it's just that he can't not do his accent.
Oh. Fair point. That's actually a good point. I've never heard him not do it. Let me think for a minute.
Yeah.
I guess he sort of affected a German accent in Schindler's List.
Yeah. But I mean, even in Dark Man, it's like there's like this little hint of his accent. You know, it's like,
we got to do Dark Man. Why have we put that off for so many years? Can we do Dark Man?
See, this is another one that I could have sworn we've done. I thought we did Dark Man.
I think we've talked about it. I think. Yeah, it's not on here. Okay. I want to do Dark Man. Can we just get that on the track on the list or whatever? I'm sure
it's right now.
Need to.
Okay, probably already is. But anyway, this is directed by Jan de Bont or Jan de Bont or however you want to say it.
Jan de Bont.
Mostly known up to this point as director of Twister. Speed, and then prior to that a whole lot of like stuff for Spielberg, like second unit director and director of photography, I think.
Dude really didn't do as much as we think he did. Like, he's a lot larger in our memory than actual credits. Like, there's like he directed three movies or something.
Each one
of them were like boom.
Yeah, except this one. This one is not boom. There it is. I think this is boom. His worst work. I think this is not great. And if these trivia notes are to be believed, Stephen King hated it. He, in fact, was on set a bunch. Somebody said
he
was like,
he thinks he didn't make it.
Well, so it says here, Steven Spielberg was so disgusted by the quality of the final product. Yeah, what'd I say, King?
Okay.
Sorry.
King. I thought you said King, but okay.
I meant Spielberg. I know why I confuse it, because Stephen King wrote the first draft of the script and then that fell through and he went on to do other stuff. Anyway, Stephen King was so disgusted by the quality of the final product of the film that he removed his name and ensured the credit made no single mention of him in the credits. Jeez.
Oh, I'm usually all about, and we're talking about King again, right?
No, this is Steven Spielberg.
Okay. Spielberg. I'm shocked you didn't play the scrutiny sound, because
it deserves some scrutiny. You're not wrong. Here, let's play it.
Scrutiny.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Is he that petty?
This movie was what it was. It was fine.
It's fine. It just is not. Okay, let me say, I'll say two things just to get it off my chest. One, I'm done watching Haunted House movies for a while.
What's up next week, Randy?
But are they done with you?
We got two more weeks this October, but I can confirm there is not a strictly Haunted House movie.
Okay, good. Okay. I'm thrilled to hear that. So that's number one. Number two, I hate horror movies that are rated PG-13. I hate them because they're not scary. They don't do anything to scare me at all. They're like completely toothless. And this one is like that. The most scary thing in the movie, or the most scary, not scary, the most shocking thing, I guess, is Owen Wilson getting his head cut off.
Oh, dude, but it's he really took it, didn't he?
Yeah, but it's done so like off camera, and it's just like...
I mean, you just barely see it, and it's such a toothless horror film.
Yeah, that's a great... It's a really great way of putting it. It doesn't have any real scares. Like, stakes. It's just... Yeah. Or stakes. That's another great way of putting it. Plus, three people survive. How's that even possible in a horror movie? What are you doing? Mm-hmm. You only kill one of them? Jeez Louise.
I like it. I'm going to say I like
it. Okay, defend it. Give us a dissertation on your take on 1999's poorly reviewed but beloved by Brian Dunaway, The Haunting.
Dude, I didn't say beloved. What are you putting words in my mouth?
I didn't say this is
the greatest movie I've ever seen. No.
Yeah.
I said I like it.
Yeah.
I like it for his pacing. Mm. I like the dumbass shallow characters.
Yeah.
I like the whole theme. I liked the music. I like the visuals. I like the 1999 graphics. There's a lot of things to like here.
Do you like the? I will say that the sets are insane. They're really nice.
The sets are insane. The house is insane.
Yeah.
The spooky. Once again, we get back to that almost campfire type setting of storytelling. So I mean, I like it. It's fine.
All right.
It's not great.
Okay.
It's fine. It's not a booger. It's not a booger on my finger. I'm like, get it off, get it off.
That's a low bar to step over.
Right.
I like your comparison though. Let's do this from now on. Movies are now compared to boogers.
Yes. Is it? How does it compare to a booger on your finger?
How sticky is it?
Yeah.
Anyway?
How sticky is your finger?
Why are boogers so sticky? I mean,
it's really close to that.
Forget horses for glue.
I sense another team gibbet today. I don't know. Am I wrong?
It's a scary movie with no scares.
That's right, because she's not supposed to be scared. She's trying to escape something.
Yeah, but we're supposed to be scared.
Yeah, and I think that actually hurts it. I think having your main character, the character that we're supposed to associate with, because she's the first character that we see, and we feel bad for her being bullied by Ginny Madsen about the house, a very underused Virginia.
When you watch Hitchcock movies, are you scared? Yeah. Or are you entertained?
A little both. It depends. Yeah,
a little both.
Yeah.
Okay.
His movies are mostly kind of psychological thriller type things.
You could even say they're psycho.
Yeah. Let me just do the short version of that. Let's call it psycho.
Birds are ridiculous. Okay, let's put it this way. Okay, let's look at this.
Yeah, birds are okay. The birds is ridiculous. I mean, not ridiculous, but it's not.
They're ridiculous.
That one's not as scary. I think that there are genuine moments of Psycho that are scary. I think that there are genuine moments of Frenzy and Rope. Well, Rope is more suspense.
But Psycho is
North by Northwest.
Some of these are like legit great films. Like Psycho is a great film.
Yes.
You could sit and watch the first half of Psycho just to learn about how to have actors act and where to move cameras and stuff. Like it's a great film. The scares are earned, but a lot of it's like through the music and so forth. This is 40 years later, right, than Psycho. Mm-hmm. And it's just not trying to be a great film. I was really surprised because as it starts, I'm like, ooh, Jan de Bont, I forgot. I love Twister so much. I really like Twister. And I realized, oh, Twister was fun despite Jan de Bont. That's how this movie feeling this movie gave me, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to give you one. Then we'll put Alfred Hitchcock to bed. But one moment, Rear Window. Jimmy Stewart is looking through the binoculars at the apartment. What's her face? Vivian Lee? Vivian Lee? No, not Janet Lee.
Janet Lee.
No. It's the Princess Grace. Kelly. Grace Kelly.
Oh, shit. Okay. I got it all wrong.
She's in the apartment. She's rummaging through his stuff. He comes home, and then he looks and sees... Like he makes eye contact with Jimmy Stewart through the binoculars. Like Jimmy Stewart's just watching him, and then he realizes that Jimmy Stewart's been watching him this whole time. Genuine horror moment, terror moment.
Yeah, that gets
maybe
me.
Maybe not horror, but terror.
Right. Yeah. To this day, that gets me too. It's really something. Yeah. The movies. I don't mind movies that are just sort of creepy, and we're trying to figure out what's going on. But this thing just felt like. It could have been on NBC on a Friday.
I mean, Disney's Haunted Mansion is way scarier than this.
Yeah.
Speaking of NBC, I literally watched Psycho with my 13-year-old. Psycho. Oh. I'm sorry. Oh. I literally watched The Haunting with my 13-year-old.
Yeah, yeah, because you can, because it's PG-13.
Right. This movie we're talking about, we watched it, you know, from beginning to end. And then we immediately watch the new episode of Saturday Night Live because I'm on the West Coast. Saturday Night Live starts at 8:30. We could do that.
Sure.
Nothing better than watching a little comedy after horror.
Sure. Nothing wrong with that.
And I want you to know Saturday Night Live was so much more R-rated.
Than this? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And for a PG-13 show, like it's 8:30 on a Saturday. I don't know what the rules are, but it felt like. Right. It felt like Saturday Night Live was supposed to be PG-13. I was like, why didn't the movie push these limits of what you can do in that rating? It didn't at all.
They didn't at all. And that's the other thing is it's low PG in my estimation. I mean, the closest you get to 13 is that decapitation, and it's barely anything. It's kind of a cartoon.
I think the framing is kind of important here because one of the first things we see. This is 1999, and I had forgotten how long ago 1999 was because everything in here, I was like, oh, I'd have to explain that to somebody under 12. It's like, oh, she's answering a curly corded phone in the kitchen. Well, I have to explain that probably. Then she's like going through the classifieds in a newspaper. I'm like, oh, I have to probably explain that as well. And then she's got a map out You know, she's got a map out while she's driving,
she's having a look,
oh, Jesus. Right. Yeah. Is this 1999? I'm like, holy hell, this looks more like 1950. What the hell is going on here? Yeah. So,
I think it did try to look a little bit older. Like, right. Mm-hmm. Like it did. It,
yeah. She lived in purgatory for 11 years. So she was living with a dying person. So there was not much.
Right. And that dying person had an old yellow handset phone with a rotary dial. Like mm-hmm. those things were older than 99, obviously. And so they did kind of seem to be aiming for that. And this, by the way, so 99 is just, you know, 24 years ago. That's significant. Good Lord. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can you believe the Matrix and this and stuff like that? Is that far behind it?
Yeah.
It's crazy. But go ahead, Randy.
I went and re-listened to our episode for Jingle All the Way because
to prepare for today.
In preparation for The Haunting. Okay. I went and listened to the Jingle All the Way.
All right.
You know, cause as you do, as anyone would.
Yeah, of course. This is normal. Sure.
So the point of re-listening to that is that it was pretty contentious. We split along our team lines, and Team Gibbet hated the movie, and Team Deluxe Away tried to defend the movie, tried to explain the movie.
Yeah.
And it was fun. I really enjoy like looking back on, we disagreed, but like we're okay. You know?
Then
watching this movie, I could sort of feel this happening again.
It's coming. Right. It's coming.
But at the same time, I don't want to. Like, I really don't. Like, I don't think this movie deserves. I'm not saying Jingle All the Way does. I'm just saying I don't think this movie in and of itself deserves a lot of, like, dissection and defense and so forth. It never rises to a level where I really care.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Which is, I think, about. I think
it's
you said it.
It's an insignificant movie, basically, right?
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it.
I feel like it's a movie. Well, we've talked about this a million times in the past. This movie has more mood and atmosphere than anything. There's not a lot going on here. I mean, there's times where you're like, what the hell are you doing, Liam Neeson? You're crawling on a spiral staircase that's collapsing, and you're telling her to get on the collapsing the staircase with you, right, and I'm like, exactly. That's like, dumb.
Yeah, yeah, I'm part, safe here on this platform. You're reaching out on this wobbly. Why even like? Well, I guess he wants to keep her from jumping off the thing, but still, what?
Still, just, right. You know, no, you're not wrong.
This felt like
the whole time I was like, dude, are you so? Like, he's so in denial that he's even in denial that he's on a precarious thing that's going to crash into the ground, right, and kill everybody.
And maybe I will totally admit, maybe some nostalgia goggles. It really felt like comfort food. It didn't feel it tasted like mashed potatoes, not really strong or anything, just comfort food.
Denny's. See, the nostalgia, the comfort thing comes into play obviously with a lot of our movies, our movie choices. This was my first viewing of it. I don't know, was it first for everybody? Or
first for me, first for me.
Definitely first for me.
Wow.
And the movie also has the benefit of starting strong. Like you sometimes see this with middling directors, right? Like they've been setting up for the first scene more than anything else. And they like really pour it out. Like that first scene in this movie I thought was real good. I was like
tension.
Yeah, I was hooked. I really felt that the actors got their characters. Like I was like uncomfortable. I wanted to get out of there. Between like, well, are these folks going to come to blows? Like these are sisters. They actually seemed like sisters to me. And so I was really sad later on to realize, the rest of the movie is a different movie. It's not the same thing.
Yeah, they don't really. I think it started strong as well. I like where things were going. Brian, you're not wrong about. I thought Virginia Madsen was going to be all over. I thought Bruce Dern was going to be all over this.
Bruce Dern, exactly. Bruce Dern and Virginia Madsen, totally underused. They should have. They should have figured out a way to have Virginia Madsen come to the house with them, and she could have been the first death, right? Because it's like, she directly challenged the woman that, you know, the new Carolyn that the kids magically brought to the house.
We're not mentioning the dad from My So-Called Life, Tom Irwin. The dad from My So-Called Life was deserved more. He could have done more to like to get in the middle of this fight between
sisters. He was also barely in the thing. Also, MC Gainey's in this. I don't remember seeing MC Gainey. When did he show up? Does anyone remember?
Oh, what's he?
He's a large man.
Whatever that is.
Don't miss him.
Large man, huh?
I tried to see it. I just never saw him. He never popped up. I guess I could look
at him. I'm a large man. Look at me. That's when he puts his junk on the car. He's like, I'm a large man. And
yeah, I cannot think of any other person in this film besides the you know,
I was pretty much
her sister, her husband, the people we see at the castle or at the house.
Lily Taylor gets pursued.
Is the large man, again. Is MC Gainey the one laying in the fountain that grabs Liam Neeson?
No, I hope that's not the large man. He's much bigger than I thought. Holy crap.
Who else does she get pursued by? Liam Neeson gets pursued there. But most of the pursuing is of Lily Taylor. Maybe. A lot of it is stuff like an exploding window, and it's not a person.
Yeah.
The one effect that I did think was really good and really clever and effective was when those two veins turn into eyes. Those two arches over the bedroom.
Yeah, that was
turn
cool.
into eyes. It's like, okay, yeah. That is a pretty cool effect.
The one also toward the end when she has achieved her goal. And the wall relief is slowly dropping her to the floor, letting her down slowly. Mm-hmm. That looked amazing. Like there are moments in this movie where it's like, holy shit, especially, you know, it really anything in that building, which they built that house for $20 million. It's like a huge part of
it.
Built
it inside one of these huge hangars we have here in Orange County.
Yeah.
And they, that's the only way you can do things like fly the camera in from above. Right. Because in a house, you're constrained by the roof. And these guys are like, no, we're just going to make this house seem obnoxiously large.
did feel like that it was one of those movies where, wow, they really spared no expense on the sets.
How do you say that again?
What'd I say?
Wow.
Wow. They really spared no expense on the house, but then the script and the story were just so lightened.
Right. And like I said, once again, it might be nostalgia. Here's a young Catherine Zeta-Jones, a very young Owen Wilson, loving Lily Taylor back again. I like the character writing, and I want to attribute that to maybe David Self, who has also done stuff with Road to Perdition, The Wolfman, and those kind of things. So
Wolfman's a terrible movie. That's an awful film.
The Benicio one is that the one we're talking
about? Yeah, the Del Toro one is terrible.
These are just kind of characters that I don't get to see a lot of. They're not great, but
I feel like they're a bit different. One dimensional is the thing that it made me think of a lot was the kids in Nightmare on Elm Street 3, the Dream Warriors, how they're all like, you know, here's this one who can't sleep, and he's just going to be popping these sleeping pills while he reads a book about sleep and then walks around throwing baseball. And
they're facing very shallow thing. And maybe it's part of the comfort. It's very bland. I like that Lily Taylor has decided she's not going to be the victim. She's the hero here. She's been the victim from the moment we met her.
Well, you won't hear me say anything negative about her in general. I really like her a lot. We saw her last week in a much better role. And I would say she's great in. I watched Leatherface. She was fantastic.
I have a complaint about Lily Taylor.
Oh my gosh, what is it?
It's her line delivery. I really like her in Say Anything. She is such a great supporting member of John Cusack's entourage. I mean, basically, it's an entourage of three people, basically, or two people. But here, there are times that I had to turn her up and then turn down the rest of the movie because her whispery delivery is just too.
She's playing meek.
She's playing meek.
Right.
But she isn't.
Is that her fault or the sound design?
Yeah, I don't know. It's probably a little bit of both. I mean, it's probably not her fault that's her voice, if that is her voice. As long as she's not told, like, oh, yeah, your character's meek. Oh, then I can do this voice through the whole thing.
Right.
And that just gets to me after an hour and a half of it. It's like, no, talk.
I had the most, like, insane crush on her from that movie back then. I just thought
Say Anything.
Yeah, I thought she was so cute in that.
Did you want to take a jam box and, you know, head outside her window or something like that?
Yeah, a jam box. Oh, also you say Owen Wilson's last name funny. You put a T in there. You say Wilson. I like
Owen
that.
Wilson.
Yeah,
Owen Wilson.
Did I put a T in there?
I think he said a T. Do it again. Say Wilson.
Okay. Owen Wilson.
Oh, okay. You're good there. I thought you said
Luke Wilson. Wasn't that Luke Wilson? Because they kept calling him Luke.
Hilarious. I didn't put that together.
Yeah,
but I did mess too. With him.
I noticed it. I was like, wait a minute. They gave him his brother's name. That's not confusing at all. Whoops.
Yeah.
I guess back then we weren't as. I mean, these two are in.
Had we gotten Rushmore yet? When was Rushmore? Was that.
Before this, wasn't it?
This is one of the first things that I really noticed Owen Wilson in.
See, there was. You hear the little T in there? Did you hear the Wilson?
I wasn't listening. Dang it.
I heard it.
Okay. Rushmore was the year before. Rushmore was in 1898. So we had Luke Wilson. Because that's the first thing I remember Luke Wilson in. I don't remember the first thing I saw Owen Wilson in.
Yeah, it feels like.
Oh, for me, it was Armageddon.
Really?
Oh, that's pretty good.
I can't remember.
Yeah, and I remember all throughout Armageddon. Every time you see or hear Owen Wilson, I remember thinking, "What's up with your nose, bro?" I remember.
Oh, yeah.
It's broken, bro.
Tina brings that up every time we watch Loki. She brought up during this. She's like, "I can't not look at his nose." And we had a guy in Loki episode 2, season 2, that had an even weirder thing on his nose, and we couldn't look away from that one. She causes these distractions and makes me miss vital plot points because she's talking about noses.
I do that all the time.
By the way. Did you know Owen Wilson co-wrote Rushmore with Wes Anderson?
I thought it was
purely a Wes Anderson.
Well, they did. Huh. He also co-wrote Bottle Rocket with him, I think.
Oh, did he?
I think so. Wow. Yeah, and that was his first movie. You know what? Anaconda. That's what now it's going to be my first time seeing it.
I'm trying to not get hung up on the IMDb page for any given actor where there's a known for section. I try so hard, guys. It just captures my attention and it's all I care about when I'm on IMDb. I'm like, known for, what are they known for? What's Owen Wilson known for? They have Royal Tenenbaums, Wedding Crashers, Bottle Rocket, Starsky and Hutch. That's not too bad. I think I could probably do better, but it's not bad. Whereas Lily Taylor's page, it doesn't even have four things. It doesn't include this movie. Yeah. I don't understand. I feel like she carries the movie. So like, I kind of wish that would just go away. Seriously, I wish the known for section would go away. I'm too hung up on it. Thank you.
I don't think
thank you.
It's
in speech. Agreed.
But it's funny because they made that Bottle Rocket short in 94. I think they were all still like early college kids then. Those two plus Wes Anderson hanging out and making shit.
I can't talk about Owen Wilson.
Anytime I say wow. Yeah.
Right, and we're screwed. Yeah. We can't say wow anymore. It's gone.
No.
World of Warcraft. Just say it that way.
You got it.
Yeah. Say what? World of Warcraft. That performance was amazing, or something like that. That'll get us through it. Anyway, it is. Here's another piece of trivia that I also did a little scrutiny for. Catherine Zeta-Jones and Liam Neeson were so frightened on the set that neither of them wanted to film after dark.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
They took her advice. They took the housekeeper's advice. Makes sense.
That's something.
Let's go 9 miles away. No one
that's
will
something
come
you tell the interviewer when you're asked by Nickelodeon how it was making the movie.
Yeah, that's a really good one. You got a Nickelodeon rep there. They're in that little room with the two posters across from each other. I can totally hear it now.
Right.
I hate those press
junket.
Yeah, they bug me. I don't know why. You know, I know why. Because I know how set up they are. They're not like.
Yeah.
Hey, right. Let's just sit down and have a chat. It's no, these are lined up. There's like 50 of you. You better haul ass and ask your questions and get out of here. It's like a meet.
How was it working with this director again? Oh, yeah, it's always the same dumb questions. And
what's it like being in the worst Jan DeBont movie?
That's right.
Come on, Dunaway. You're supposed to fight back when I do that. You're supposed to get mad.
By the way,
it's Jan. It's Jan DeBont.
Oh, okay.
Oh, was that what I was
that was the
say?
Part. Yeah, that was the part. I was
Jan DeBont, mother humper.
Sorry, Randy, you were saying something.
I looked it up because I was like, how many did he make? Jan DeBont directed 5 movies. We've now seen 4 of them. But he's also in our credits another 5 times because he was the cinematographer for movies that we've sacked.
Yeah.
So he was the director of photography for Black Rain, Cujo, Die Hard, Flatliners, and Lethal Weapon 3. And that's pretty good. Those are good credits.
I've seen all those movies like a million times. So it feels like I've seen them so often, even though that's just a few.
Yeah.
I've watched all those a bunch of times.
It's pretty weird, though. The Haunting and Twister, which are 3 years apart, they just could not feel more different.
Twister's also comfort food for me because, I mean.
I love Twister. Twister's great. Great time. I don't think Twister's ever a problem for anyone.
It's fun. That's a fun popcorn movie.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
By the way, I went to Jan de Bont's Wikipedia page to try and figure out how to pronounce his name once and for all. And it looks like it actually might be Jean de Bont.
Jean?
Or Han?
Well, it's a J. It's showing a J.
Well, I'm glad we cleared that up. So
it's not showing an H. It's not showing a Y. It's showing Jean de Bont. But here's what I like the best is that his first wife was named Monique Van de Ven, which means that if she took his last name, she'd be Monique de Ven de Bont.
Oh, my gosh.
Love it.
That's amazing. I would have taken his last name.
Monique
do that.
Van de Ven de Bont.
Yeah. Director of photography for Lethal Weapon, Tales from the Crypt. Basic Instinct, Shining Through, Flatliners, Hunt for Red October. Good Lord, this guy was busy. Black Rain, We Just Want the Money, that one. And then, you know, directorially, producer? Well, anyway, cinematography-wise, doing all kinds of work for Spielberg. Those two are pals, man.
Yeah, there you go. That's where he gets most of his bread and butter, right?
Yeah, The Minority Spielberg. Report, that happened.
Yeah, oh, that's a great movie. Yeah.
It's a favorite.
Great movie.
Yeah, I love that movie.
He did Principal.
Hunt for October, Flatliners, Basic Instinct.
Busy boy.
Yeah.
You're getting all his de Bont on, you know?
Yeah. See, all those things you said are just things that I loved back. It's very low commitment. You know, you're not asking me to, you know, get too invested, but just invested enough to enjoy the ride.
I guess so. It did feel like a boring ride.
He was nominated for Worst Director for the Golden Raspberry for The Haunting.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a bunch of Razzie nominations for this movie and others. Like, there's these other awards that are also for bad movies.
Mm.
And that's where I just want to draw the line and say, I don't think it's that bad. I don't think this movie justifies like calling it like the worst acting of the year or whatever.
I mean, was 2000 or 99? I don't think you can do that at any year, but I can't imagine it was the worst acting in 99. There's no way. Plus, there are so many movies. Like this stuff, it's arbitrary anyway.
Do you have the list in front of you? I'm looking at the list.
I do. I'm looking at it. And it's like the nominees for worst actor included Adam Sandler and Kevin Costner. I'm like, you can't beat that, right? Like Adam Sandler's going to win the Razzie every time.
What was Costner for the
Love of the Game and Message in a Bottle?
Yeah, two for front.
Weird.
All of these actors
this year was Wild Wild West, Big Daddy, Blair Witch Project, The Hunting, and Star Wars Episode One.
What, Dunaway? What are you going to say?
I was going to say, all these actors and actresses pretty much went on to make pretty big careers out of acting just like they're acting here. So
well,
I don't know.
They were already doing it, though. This wasn't like a debut for anybody. They were all working.
No, but they were, you know, they weren't like...
I mean, Schindler's List was a big deal.
But they weren't... That's not why you were going to Schindler's List. You weren't going to just specifically for that, right?
Well, I mean, he got a nomination for best actor in there. He did good.
I'll give you one. There was there's no way that this is the worst screenplay of the year that Big Daddy was in that competition. But like it's there's a category in the Razzies called Worst Screen Couple. And they nominated The Haunting for Lily Taylor and Catherine Zeta-Jones.
I liked that.
I'm like, I get it. They had no chemistry. Those two had zero, for being such interesting actresses, zero chemistry ever. Yeah.
And Zeta-Jones was a double nominee because she was also nominated Worst Screen Couple with Sean Connery for Entrapment. So,
that I feel hard.
I mean, I like everybody. There's no one in here I don't like. They're all fine. It's just, and they all have great, fine careers. It's just like, this is just a weird thing. It's a good director making a mediocre film. And
what'd you think about the baby cherubs?
They were, when they were moving, they were annoying because they just looked CG and kind of bad. But when they were staring, it was fine.
When they're in the drapes, it's kind of cool.
That looked cool.
But then once they got into the sheets and it's like, oh, this is really silly.
Yeah. And then the face and the pillow and stuff. Yeah, that stuff looked pretty bad. The big CGI statue grabbing him, that might have looked cool then. It looked pretty bad.
Oh,
now.
The giant bird? Thing?
Yeah, whatever that was. The blue thing that pulled Neeson into the
The fountain statue. Yeah, there's also that bronze bird that...
The griffin.
That I think could have killed everybody.
The griffin. Did you see that pecs on that griffin? You know,
Haunted house rules. Are you not allowed? Like, can you only? Do you have to raise enough mana to be able to do the the possessed griffin statue? Because if you would have just started with that, movie's over in 5 minutes.
It does feel like the griffin could have really
some relief that this movie is rule bound. Like, there's some pretty straightforward rules. Everybody seems to follow it. There's not like. You know, it doesn't like bend the genre.
Yeah, you know what? I'll give it credit for that. Well, I was complaining last week about the Conjuring, and I didn't think it had enough rules, or at least it wasn't clear about them. This one at least was pretty clear about how this place works and what's haunting it and why.
Yeah, like the characters even say to each other, you know, we should just leave. Yeah. And it's like, we're not leaving because this one person isn't leaving. She's not leaving because she has really good reason to. And that was cool. I'm cool with it. Yeah.
Just feel like there were no stake. When your only stake is Owen Wilson, it's just like, what are you doing, man? Like, you can't have three of you survive this. Plus, you know, Bruce Dern and all the other 1 second actors that were in this. Like, you're supposed to, it's a horror movie. It's supposed to kill everybody.
You survived, right? Because,
movies that don't kill everybody.
Sacrifices herself to live in the house forever and say,
oh, yeah, shit. Forgot about that. Yeah, no, you're right.
I like movies that don't kill everybody. I kind of like it.
Yeah?
I like it.
You don't want, I like movies that don't kill everybody in the right context, but if you're giving me a haunted house movie or any kind of horror movie, I mean,
I like a little break from the slasher formula of only one can survive unless it's cabin.
If you're a haunted house and you go to all the effort to scare people into separating, you need to take them out one by one. Otherwise, just keep them all together.
Yeah, what's the point otherwise? If you're going to pull me in the water and then spew a little blood into the water and that's all you did, well, you're not a good haunted house. You're a boring haunted house.
I am assuming that even though it wasn't really explained, I pretty much wiped it clean pretty quickly and went, oh, well, you know, this guy really gets off on scaring people. That's where he gets his power, right? That's where he lives, scaring people. If you kill him, you can't scare him.
Is it Michael Cavanaugh? Is this the guy? Who's the actor that was like the main dude on the painting?
The bad guy? You mean Logan? Michael Cavanaugh? No. Cavanaugh was, you talk about the painting?
Who's Cavanaugh? I thought this was this Hugh, Michael Cavanaugh.
Ukraine is the guy in the painting, Hugh. Right?
And I just hammer down a triple alert real quick for me.
I can hammer it with gusto. Hold on. Here.
Charles. Don't ever, ever name a character Hugh Crane. You don't do it. Or anything like it. Anything like it. I don't understand anything like that. Why would you do that? Mm-hmm. It's one of the worst names ever given to
Hugh
a character.
Hugh Crane. It sounds like you're saying Huge Crane wrong. Right.
I spent the entire movie, every time I heard it, I'm like, you know, Russia's going to invade that guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Sound like names.
Sounds like they might. This other dude, Todd Field, he looked familiar to me. Played Todd Hackett in this.
Oh, he's the one that rushes off Mary Lambert.
Yeah.
Right? They're just right away, they're like, we're heading to the hospital and never returning.
Right. Yes. I like, all right, well, you know, once you get done at the hospital, make sure you come back here. And she's like, yeah, right. Okay. Right. Yeah.
Sure.
This guy went on to some shit, man. He's director of Tar, that recently Oscar thing.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
In the Bedroom, Little Chicken.
That's a chickadee.
He little chicken like, or little children?
Little shit. It's little children. Shit. Yeah. It looked like chicken.
Like a little chicken.
I want to see Little Chicken now.
Little Chicken.
Little Women, Little Children, Little Chicken.
That's right.
Good.
Exactly.
All right. Sorry. Why did that? But it made it hard for me to pick out who I would call Chick in the Bucket here. I wanted to do the lady who got her face slashed early on and they ran off. And Mary. Never saw her again. We saw Bruce Dern for a hot second in the end. So he didn't really count. So I think it's the girl that got her face slashed. I think she's our chicken in the bucket.
Todd and Mary. Mary and Todd. They were.
Grab a bucket.
She's done. They're out. They're go back to their
we
nine.
I know months. They're at the hospital, maybe, but they've been gone a very long time.
That's going to leave a scar, what she got.
Long time.
Oh, that hospital.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
9 miles away.
Yeah. Not, at least nine, right? No one
at least
comes closer.
9 miles away. Yeah. By the way, I didn't realize that the housekeeper, Marion Seldes, along, of course, with Owen Wilson, both of them in Haunted Mansion, the most recent Disney version of Haunted Mansion with Rosario Dawson and Danny DeVito.
How is that? You see it?
Scarier than this.
Really?
Nah. Did you guys see the first Haunting, the original movie?
No, it's like an old 60s thing.
Late 60s? Yeah, I think so.
Let's see here. 1963. Julie Harris, Claire Bloom, Shirley Jackson.
So I'm not see, I hadn't seen either one of these. So y'all had y'all going in not knowing anything about any of the Haunting stuff.
Yeah.
Richard Johnson also to his friends Richard. Dick Johnson.
Dick.
Yeah.
Do we watch Johnson? Haunting of Hill House here? The movie, yes, not the TV series, but the
Love
House
that
on Haunted Hill. Is that what it was?
The Haunting of Hill House or
Haunting of Hill House is not it. House Hill. Wait a minute.
The Hill House on Haunted Hill. Is that it?
So we watched. Let me give you what we watched.
You make a point here that I actually wrote down. How many things are Hill Houses? Right. In so many movies. Yes. It's so weird. Yes. Well,
that all goes back to the original like book and movie. They calling something Hill House because it sounds so much like Hill House.
Hill House. So clever.
On FilmSack, we have watched The House on Haunted Hill, which just last year, and also last year we watched The Haunted Mansion, which you remember was silly, and then several years ago, we watched House, which was the other movie. We have not watched any of the other ones that you just named.
Yeah. And the Haunting of Hill House is a series and a very good one.
The Flanagan one.
And his new one just hit.
The House of Usher. Follow the House of Usher.
Another house.
Houses.
Another house.
I like houses.
But it doesn't have midnight in the title, which is kind of like.
But I'm excited about it. I'm hearing very, very good things. But, This is officially his last joint at Netflix before his Prime deal starts. So worth seeing, yeah. I think.
Looking at our FilmSack history, the one that I want to revisit because I just don't really remember it, but we apparently really liked it, was Amityville Horror.
That was Ryan Reynolds.
The newer one, right?
We watched the 1979 one.
Yeah, that was right. The crap.
You guys haven't seen the Ryan Reynolds one. That's right.
Yeah, I'm trying to look and see. Yeah, that is the older one, right? There was a 2005 one. That's the one with him, Ryan Reynolds. And then there's the 2017 one.
Is it actually scary?
I mean,
it's can't remember.
Gonna guess no. There are so many of these, you guys. There's Amityville: The Awakening from 2017. Yeah. We know about 2, 3D in the original, but then there's Amityville Bigfoot, Amityville Curse, Amityville Dollhouse. There's so many.
I don't know anything about those. Nothing.
It's nuts to me how many Amityville. And I'm saying it wrong.
Amityville.
But I don't know if any of those are worth revisiting, but probably not. It's my guess, you know.
I think the Ryan Reynolds thing is.
You think so?
Yeah.
I mean, is he jokey in it? Is he?
No. Okay. That's what's great about it. He's not jokey.
He's not jokey at all. Just kind of a
not jokey. A dude.
I'm having a hard time imagining that.
Me too. It's hard.
For some reason.
That's why it's worth watching.
Huh. Chloe Grace Moretz is in there. Philip Baker Hall. We talked about this. I want to see this now. All right. Dunaway, you're correct. We're going to watch it maybe next year or some other time. But I think we're.
Another haunted house movie. No, Scott. No. Let's do one more.
Any more houses. My gosh, there's one more house.
But what is it about the word hill that's supposed to be scary? Because we house on the hill. House,
like Randy said. Hell sounds like hell.
Because it sounds like hell. All right.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I'm with Ibbot that seems dumb, but whatever.
It does seem dumb, of course.
Because that's just if people mishearing it.
Why not just call it Hell House?
Did you say Hell House?
Done that.
Ooh. You know, it's just not scary. And this movie.
Well, no one's going to move into Hell House. You might move into Hill House and be fooled. It's like, oh, you got me.
Why is this house even called Hill House? Like, because nobody it's on a that hill. They. Right, but nobody that they mentioned in this film has ever had the last name Hill. Like, oh, you're not going up to that old Hill House, are you?
It's a location.
On a hill?
Crane House, way scarier. The Crane House?
So the one, that's not bad. Why does that sound familiar? Something about that's familiar. The Crane House. I'm not thinking of Fraser Crane's apartment or something.
Probably.
Throughout my viewing of The Haunting, I kept thinking, why don't we get more Lily Taylor? I need more Lily Taylor in my life. I enjoy her. Yeah. And I enjoy the way she acts and so forth.
Same.
And so I went looking, like, what's Lily Taylor's best movie? And surprise, surprise, it's a movie called The Winter House. And I'm sorry, Scott. It sounds, I don't know, but it's
another house.
Sounds like,
oh, man.
Yeah. It's got an 8.8 out of 10 on IMDb.
That is
really high.
Winter
and,
House.
And, you know, so I didn't look much further into it, but I just wanted to read you the summary for The Winter House that Lily Taylor made 2 years ago. Eileen is grieving. She needs to get away. She rents a house in a remote corner of New Hampshire in the dead of winter where no one is likely to bother her. But wouldn't you know it, someone does.
Wow. God, wouldn't you know
I
it?
I just wanted to win her house, all right?
I will absolutely watch this.
Am I the only one of the four of us that's watched Outer Range?
Yes, and I keep meaning to. She's supposed to be pretty good in that. I've heard
she's great in it. Brolin's great in it, but the it's a very cool little suspenseful sci-fi western.
Sci-fi western.
You have my full attention.
Yeah, it's supposed to be awesome. I also watched 2017.
You recommended this.
I totally did.
It's on my list of yes, I'm really going to actually watch this eventually. Yeah.
Well, watch it while you still have love for Lily Taylor, because she's great in it. Yeah. It's his wife.
Okay.
You want to be mad at her, watch Leatherface. So me and Dunaway have a particular for Leatherface. For whatever reason, it's the one sort of spin out Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie that I actually think is better than people say it is. It's like really poorly reviewed, but I thought Leatherface was all right. But Lily Taylor plays the mom who in later movies is played by like an old lady. So this is like set in the 70s or something, 60s. And Lily Taylor plays Verna, and she is a mean old, mean old bee is what she is in that.
A mean old BB word.
So watch for that. But Stephen Dorff also in there as a police guy, and that was pretty fun. That movie was all right. I enjoyed it. Had a good time. Not exactly what I expected, but it was all right. And so Dunaway, thanks for the recommendation. That was your fault.
Thank you. We haven't said much about Liam Neeson, and we don't really
need to. That's because he's barely in this thing. He's kind of barely in it, don't you think? Yeah. I mean, he wanders around the house, has a few things where he's like, no, this isn't logical, and then off to someone else's story.
Leads people up there under false pretenses.
Yeah. Which seems unethical. Like, he's supposed to be he's running a very ethical study, except for the part where he's not ethical at all.
Right. Exactly, yeah.
Good Lord. He's like, hey, we haven't been told why we're coming up here. Really, you think? You think maybe Grandpa Schindler over there is giving you the bullshit? So I found his character to be kind of a waste of time, to be honest. Anybody could have been him. I like Liam Neeson.
Oh, yeah.
Brings a lot to roles he's in, but in this, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Go do something else. This seemed like, you know, a step down. He stepped right back up and went on to other cool things, but he, you know, there was a dip. Hollywood is an M.C. Escher painting. Sometimes it seems like you're going down, but you're really
Rodan statue.
You're going up.
Screaming kids on the wall are going to come after you. Yeah. I want you to get under your bed. They're going to take you.
Well, he's got a very special set of skills. What are you going to do?
I don't know if I like Liam Neeson anymore. I'm not sure what's happening.
Why? What happened? What's going on?
I would like my defense of The Phantom Menace was that Liam Neeson's real good.
Yeah.
And then as the years have gone by, I'm like, oh no, what if Qui-Gon had one note? You know, like I just like everything I see him in, I'm not feeling like the acting is really that great.
What'd you think? That thing we did recently, the airplane one, he was really good in that, didn't you think? It was all right.
Yes, he does really carry that thing where he looks grim and stern and he's about to give you orders and you better follow them or your life will be forfeit.
Yeah.
That's cool. But what else? I need more.
Yeah. Maybe that's what it is. He is locked into a path right now that he seems to be perfectly happy in and they make money at the box office and all that. But I don't know that we're suddenly going to get Liam Neeson in Scorsese's final film. You know, I don't think that's going to happen.
Right, yeah.
Maybe.
He was great in Cold Pursuit, though, from a few years ago, the one where he's a snowplow driver. It's basically like Die Hard. It's like every 90s action film, but he's a snowplow driver.
Yeah, it's like Die Hard. It's like Taken, Die Hard. But then it had a dark sense of humor I wasn't expecting.
Yes.
That was good. Yeah, I watched that based on your recommendation. It was very good.
And he's in it with Bruce Dern's daughter, Laura.
Oh, yeah.
Laura Dern is there.
Yeah, she was in it more than her dad
was. Look at my dinosaur.
I kept thinking of the Burbs because he looks more like, he still looks like Bruce Dern from the Burbs here and not Bruce Dern from Nebraska, which is a very different looking Bruce Dern. But I like Bruce Dern.
Interesting. Interesting that late 90s Bruce Dern plays 2010's. Oh, shit.
Hey, it's early in the morning. Names are hard.
I just had it right there. He plays 2010's Gary Busey.
Oh.
And it's so like, it's so like, there's apparently a character that you can create, you know, like if you have, I don't know, a wild eyes and scraggly gray hair, like there's a character that anyone can do if you have that.
He's very good at it though. I really like his thing. Real quick, since you brought up Busey, let's just check in on him real quick. All right, let's see. He has some advice for you. Here you go.
Anxiety, stress, and no confidence comes from the holders of defeat. Self-defeat. When you defeat yourself, don't defeat yourself. Always be positive.
Okay, there you go.
If you told me that Gary Busey died 3 years ago and he was replaced with AI, I would believe you.
I just saw a video. I can't remember where it was, but somebody posted a video of Busey in California. Like, they hit his car, or he hits their car, and they go driving after them with their phone and, like, keep trying to tell him, you hit my car. And he just smiles, and he's listening to Beach Boys a full blast, and he's like, yeah, and he just keeps driving with his
Sweet.
That guy doesn't care. He didn't care anymore. You mentioned buttered sausage, Dunaway. That whole thing was a deep fake. I thought it was real.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah they did. Yeah, some guys did a really good impression of him, and then somebody else.
It all seems like it, but it seems so real because that's exactly the weirdness that he's
broadcasting. Yeah, he would actually bark that out in the middle of the interview. They're like, what is your favorite role? Buttered sausage. It's like, what? Yeah. Buttered sausage. What about buttered sausage? It's the weirdest thing. Anyway, I wrote down here a note that says, this house is rad. I like these actors, but this movie is boring. And I think I meant boring.
Boring.
It's the boring.
I can't wait for it to get boring. Yeah. This movie's boring.
It's not that like I'm burned out on Halloween movies. I've been watching a ton and I'm enjoying a lot of this stuff. I rewatched, Hereditary with my wife. Mm-hmm. Like, can't get enough this year. I'm all in on the Halloween movies. But if I see one more tepid PG to PG-13
horror movie. What if there had been a Great Dane in this movie? Would you have been, that would have kept
it? It would have been worse. Oh my gosh.
If Owen Wilson had like a Great Dane, that would make it better.
That's a weird thing.
Wow, Scoob.
I mean, I get where you're going. Yeah. You know what? There are direct-to-video Scooby-Doo specials that I prefer over this. How about that? And those aren't good.
I'm going to call you out and make you name one of them.
Oh my gosh. Scooby-Doo and the mysterious weed loss. Fart. I don't know what happened.
Oh, there you go.
I can't think of it. I couldn't tell you one of those. They're all bad.
Right.
But I think they're better than this. At least I can park my brain and just go, all right, this is dumb. Let's go. And this one's like
a dog solving mysteries. The brain.
Your ingredients here are strong. You got a really amazing set, a director who knows how to make tense, cool movies, a bunch of actors who know what they're doing. Like, this should have worked.
Liam Neeson's trusty cell telephone
that gets absolutely smashed. I was so sad.
Yes. It shatters like it was made of glass. That thing.
That was the most unrealistic part.
I really wanted to mess around with that thing, and it made me cry when it got shattered.
Yeah, everybody wants more practical effects in this movie.
I have my trusty cell telephone here. We can play Snake if we get bored.
Yeah,
it'd be fine.
In '99, only rich people had a good cell phone. Feels like it was still a status symbol of like, ooh, you have a portable mobile cellular device.
Oh, you're definitely going to get cancer.
And it's so different now. Oh yeah, that's the other thing is we've had enough time to study like 95 or 4, whenever the cell phone started becoming a thing by StarTAC or whatever. Mm-hmm. That was when everyone was going, they're going to give you the brain cancer immediately. And now we have like 30 something years of data.
Right.
None of it shows an increase.
Well, but in their defense, boy, we were really cranking out some amps on those old ones, though, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I used to get a headache from those things being next to my head.
I mean, fair enough. Yeah, they were heavy and radiating.
Heavy, hot.
Yeah, they were hot.
It would get hot, yeah.
I remember people like getting these headbands that would allow you to wear the phone on your ear.
Oh, yeah.
And that was, that does not seem safe.
Think all the stuff was kind of bunk. I wouldn't strap one to my head all day. No, that seems like a terrible idea. Or even the ones, the little portable Bluetooth. Not, I don't know if they were Bluetooth, the first ones, but the ear sets you could get.
Yeah.
Those were too big and gnarly to put in your head. Don't be doing that.
Too big.
For all we know, you know, AirPods and wireless buds and stuff are eating our brain. We don't know.
Cool. Don't know. I can't wait.
Yep. Let's get that coming. Let's make it a thing. Let's be like Satanic Panic 2023 style.
Sure.
It's already there, man.
Oh,
just
that's true.
Listen one time on Facebook and it'll spread like wildfire.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I say all this as if it isn't already happening more than it's ever happened in our lives.
Yeah.
Fantastic. What else? Oh, CGI pillow nonsense. We talked about that.
CGI, the morph in the mirror. When Lily Taylor starts turning into the other lady.
I thought you were talking about instant pregnancy.
Okay. Oh, that. God, there's that. Then there's
Fast acting pregnancy. That's my favorite.
Flip book, go to the fireplace.
Oh, she's yeah.
She's like flipping through all the photos somehow at flash levels of speed, by the way. I don't know how that happened, but.
She hauled cheeks, dude.
Yeah.
She got around that whole house a lot faster than anybody did.
And I think we watched a shorter version than the version I've seen before because I'm pretty sure. Yeah. I think this one was only like an hour 50, but I think the one I've seen before is like over 2 hours. It must have seen.
Really? That sounds like a nightmare to me. That sounds awful. Great.
That's exactly what you want from a horror movie. A nightmare.
Well, ooh, all right. So
if an extra 20 minutes.
If you're telling me they have like an unrated director's cut type thing, I would maybe check that out because it sounds like maybe this thing was way watered down. So maybe that is better. I mean, I've said this before. One of the worst movies I saw in theaters was Ridley Scott's.
I want to say that the carousel thing has a bigger something in it than
really
it would have to because it the only they go in there twice basically once when they discover the thing and then Lily Taylor goes back in there and it's really just so she can see the mirror image of herself getting pregnant and that's it like they could have done that with any mirror in the house
right before that she sees a mirror images of herself only she's slightly different people and one of them looked so much like Famke Janssen that I went straight to the credits. I was like, oh, wow, they really, how did they do that? And then, no, it's not. It was just, they just like used some mirrors that stretch your face or whatever.
Yeah, her mouth was weird.
Thought they were using Morph. I thought, I pretty much assumed it was Morph.
Morph, I forgot about Morph.
Yeah, Morph, dude. Morph was the way.
Because they were morphing her into Hugh Crane's second wife.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And it looked very much like Famke Janssen to me, which was a very exciting moment.
Well, it was. But then I thought, is this maybe this is where what's his name? The supposedly large man actor is. Maybe he's just a large man.
What if, oh my gosh, if Lily Taylor became MC Gainey? Jesus.
Oh my gosh.
It would have been the scariest thing in the movie.
Yeah, exactly. Now we're talking.
Now you're talking hard R. Let's go. Let's get it done. It's fine. All right. Dunaway, I'll give you this. It's fine. It's not the worst movie we'll see.
It doesn't. Right.
It's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
There are people who have already written in saying, I love this movie. I have nothing but fond feelings for it. I saw it 3 times in the theater. We always get this with people, especially 90s kids. They're super into the thing they were when they were kids in the 90s, just like we in the 80s were. Mm-hmm. So I understand and I support it and I respect it and we'll allow it. All right.
We'll allow it.
I always want to allow that because, as you know, in 99, I went and saw, no, not 99, sorry, when it came out, 97, 98. I watched Armageddon at the movie theater like 17 times. I went and saw Armageddon so many times, and it was just made me so happy. And so I always want to give people, you know what, that's, you know, you're a time in your life or whatever. This movie has just one trope too many. And I think the one where I just lost it was when Luke dies, when Owen Wilson dies.
Mm. Right.
Because it's the trope of too dumb to live. Yeah. any of us could have avoided that. Like you know, you're just like, oh, look, here's something slowly coming at me.
Exactly. Mm. He's got time to hear Lily Taylor say, watch out for the flu, and then turn and look at the flu.
Yeah, you should get your shot. Oh, you mean the thing? Ah!
Yeah.
Don't spoil my Twitter post.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
I feel that way about Armageddon now. I love that movie, but I also know it's rooted in the same thing, right?
It's always, and I don't get too mad about tropes either. I've probably talked about this a million times before. I mean, every generation gets the retelling of classic stories and tropes. You need your touchstones of like Romeo and Juliet and your classic stories. And you want to see the people who look like you playing those roles saying, words that are familiar to your generation. I mean, it's just, you just keep retelling the same stories over here. It's not because they're necessarily trying to milk it, because they are, but you know, every 10 years or so, we have a new generation coming up and they want to see these stories with the people they know.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I could see that.
Yeah.
Real quick here. Just because we were talking about Armageddon, I noticed that, our friend Michael Bay, director extraordinaire, excuse me.
Maybe your friend.
Oh. He's making a movie called, it's upcoming. It doesn't have a lot of notes, but something called Robopocalypse.
Oh.
Sci-fi story set in the aftermath of a robot uprising, which sounds great, except that's a stupid name. Don't you think? Robopocalypse?
Robopocalypse.
I don't like it.
Say it as fast as you can.
It makes it less good. It's not, it's bad. And maybe it's just it could be a, what do you call it when they have a fake name at first? What's that called?
Working title.
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably
working title, right? Or the Blue Harvest, where it's really another, it's another Transformers movie, but they're going to call it Robopocalypse until they get it put out.
No. I want them not to do that. I want him to not do that. He said he's interested. I saw this. Maybe we talked about this, but Dunaway, I thought about you. He says he's interested in maybe returning to. Oh no, that wasn't Zack Snyder. Never mind. It's that other movie you like.
Sucker Punch.
Sucker Punch. You may want he wants to do a Sucker Punch follow up. Maybe.
Oh jeez.
He's thinking. We'll see. We'll see.
We need a whole excellent. We have a whole series of the Suckerverse.
Yeah, but also I don't have to be a Sucker Punch second time around. I mean, you pretty much know it's coming.
Yeah, but Suckerverse is a real good name for it.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
All right, let's do some clips. We have clips for the film The Haunting, the 1999 Haunting, everyone. And boy, howdy, do we have them. Let's give you a couple here. How about this one? The weird kid at the beginning laughing. All right, that's great.
Oh, that kid. That kid is destructive. Was car driving and banging
real effective
on the wall.
Though, right? Like you hated everybody involved in making.
Everybody in that room sucked. They were all terrible except Lily Taylor, just trying to live her life, and they were all buttholes and chicks in the bucket in the end.
Oh,
yeah,
chicken buttholes,
chicken buttholes. Butthole. Yeah, never get the chicken the fried chicken buttholes at KFC.
The situation.
Guess what? Anytime you order from KFC, you're getting the fried chicken buttholes.
I was gonna say. You're getting it every damn time. All right. Giving me an old car. Oh, yeah, that whole part.
You're taking away my home and giving me a 20-year-old car.
Doesn't feel like a good deal.
That's not any car. That's an AMC Gremlin, baby.
Oof.
It's worth money now. Not in 99, probably, though, still.
Go ahead.
I just want to say once again, I've said this many times, try to get close to your siblings. The older you get, the more you're going to be glad if you try to get close to your sibling.
Oh, yeah.
Like, seriously, if you like start sensing a falling out with your siblings, fix it. Seriously, it's worth it.
Yes.
Yeah, do that. Or if it's real bad, bail early. I don't know. Maybe that's bad advice. But if they're real rough, maybe.
It's just like you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
The point this movie is trying to make is there is no shittier situation than when you have an elderly, aging, dying person and someone's got to take care of them. Mm-hmm. Like, you should consider the person who does the caretaking an angel from heaven, you know? And like, this movie is, you know, reversing all of that. It makes you feel bad. Yeah. Just don't.
That's
like,
the idea.
No, in real life, don't do that ever.
Yeah. Here's this bit about peeing.
Eleanor, Help me. I gotta pee.
Oh, this kid.
I love that kid.
I don't know, man. I feel like he's in the card table in the other room for Thanksgiving. He's not coming in this room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Forget it. Here's Liam Neeson in his normie voice.
What are your feelings, Mary? Tell me what your intuition say.
Oh, yes. Hello.
Intuition. He really put air quotes around the word intuition.
He really did. Yeah. Yeah. It's the most passive aggressive.
That's great. What are we doing, or what are you doing here?
Yeah, I'm Mr. Dudley, the caretaker. But what are you doing here?
Yeah, I'm Mr. Dudley, the caretaker.
The line right before that is, you're Mr. Dudley, the caretaker? Yeah, I'm Mr. Dudley, the caretaker.
He's just an ass.
I wrote that down. Because, like, we all need to say he's Mr. Dudley, the caretaker?
Yeah, he's just kind of an ass. Also, they're not caretaking much. The place is dusty mess.
Yeah.
I thought about that, and I was like, holy hell, but that's, can you imagine two people trying to just, that just makes me tired just thinking about having to dust all of that, just as two people. He's outside.
Right.
It's just her inside making food and trying to dust that place. Holy hell.
It's a lot of work.
Do they seriously, when they show up in the morning to caretake, they wrap that chain around like that much with the lock?
That's crazy.
They're there, and then what, crazy. They're going to undo it? Pull their car out, go and redo it, and then
That seemed insane. Nobody's coming out there. It's 9 miles from anywhere. No one wants to go there. Like, they were being paranoid.
Nobody will come.
Not
nobody
at night.
Will come. Not at here. Night.
Not it's in dark. The dark.
Miles. Because, like, I guess no one in this region of the planet is aware of the 14-acre compound with the turrets. Like, this place would be so famous if it was anywhere in the United States.
Oh, anywhere. Yeah. You'd go visit. You'd go drive by it all the time. You'd want to be there. I like a big scary house because I know that ghosts are bullshit. So I go. It's fun. Let's go.
How many square feet is your house? A lot.
A lot of it's square, like, feet.
Yeah.
All like, the square feet.
All the square feet.
Every square feet. We don't measure it in square feet. It's the interior of acres.
Yeah. This is an interesting one. This came to me from, let's say, this looks like Ibbot's dad sent this. Yeah.
Oh.
So this one came for your dad. This came from Vermont. He found an old file. This is audio of you. You asked your date if she was also working on an art degree. Okay. Because you were busy in art school and stuff.
Sure.
And this is what your date said.
No, I studied purgatory.
And you, boy, I'm glad you broke that one up.
Yeah, it's a ski resort.
Yeah.
Local, actually not that local, but it's a ski resort, and she was just a big time skier.
Sure. Everyone loves a little purgatory.
She studied it.
Yeah. Studied purgatory.
She studied it. She knows every black diamond, every blue
horseshoe.
Yeah. Exactly. It is actually
All right.
I felt like we were going lucky charms.
Every yellow moon.
Yeah. Imagine if the diamonds in that cereal were black.
Yeah.
That would just be like, ugh.
Black diamond, like a Halloween edition. That'd be cool.
Right.
All right. Owen Wilson shows up.
Sorry, I didn't mean to scare you. Luke Sanderson, just a bad sleeper. Basic tosser turner.
Yeah. Basic Tosser is right.
Basic Tosser Turner.
Yeah. Tosser Turner is a great name. I'd see a movie with Rip Torn and Tosser Turner headlining. Here's Moore Wilson.
I swear to God, you get a steady diet of that crap, and pretty soon you start thinking about moving to Montana and becoming a survivalist.
Wow, that was so funny. What a joke.
Hilarious. Then he made a cat sound.
Wow.
All right.
Nope.
That was almost a wow.
That's a wow. No,
it's kind of a wow.
That's a wow.
It's a wow.
You're going to call it a wow? I'm going to say
that's
almost.
That's a wow.
All right, let me imagine it. Let me play it, but I'm going to imagine wow. Hold on.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
It's
it actually
thing.
Works.
Wow, meow. It's all the same.
It's just a wow where he doesn't move his lips.
It's like green needle. Green needle. Here's a good movie, thwack. Yeah, that's where she got hit.
There's a whole bunch of noise going on.
That was like a Rube Goldberg of...
Yeah, I hear a toilet beginning.
Let's hear it again.
Someone dropped a...
Yeah, like half a flush or something.
Someone poured half a glass of water into the toilet.
That was weird.
And then slapped somebody afterwards.
Yeah. But what was it that hit her in the face? I don't remember. It was a piano wire or something?
It was a piano wire, yeah.
Yeah, piano wire, that's it.
She didn't duck the piano wire.
Never use a water in the house that sounds like this. Have you guys ever had pipes do that? like just
that the turds going through, Scott.
That's the sound of a healthy pipe.
Yeah, I remember my great grandparents' house having noisy pipes. Nothing like that. Nothing like that. But like I can imagine it, you know?
It always if mine start making that noise, to me that's a sign we need new pipes, you know?
Yeah. Well, I don't live in a mansion, so I can't say.
I guess not. Like maybe old crickety pipes are fine because they've lasted 150 years. I don't know how that stuff works, but I know that here I've had pipes break for way less reasons that don't make a sound. So I don't know what was going on back then.
Resonance.
I guess so. I don't know. I don't want it is what I'm saying. Here's some creepy carving talk.
These carvings are really creepy.
Uh-huh. He just adds such an Owen Wilson flavor to everything, really.
He does.
So bizarre.
All these fat little cherubs and angels with furry animals. It's really bizarre, I think.
Bizarre.
Since he does that in so many movies, that exact little that thing.
Golly gee.
It's got to be ad-lib, right? And they just kept it?
I assume he does a lot of ad-libbing. Yeah. Or that's just, I don't know, maybe. I really like Owen Wilson. On paper, though, I'm annoyed. Like, that kind of stuff should annoy me. It does in this movie a bit, I'll have to admit. But, like, in all the Wes Anderson stuff, he's great. I love him in Loki. Amazing in that show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's one of the best things about it. Like aging Owen Wilson might be my favorite Owen Wilson. He's awesome. Oh. But this whole like, wow, this, I don't know. It's weird. It's a weird thing he is. He's a weird thing. What about all the noises?
What about all the noises?
He has a little fart at the end. Did you hear that?
What about all the noises?
Yeah, he farted again. Weird. What about those noises?
Wow.
Angry acting?
You don't care about insomnia. You just wanted to scare the hell out of us so we fit into your little test or model or whatever other bullshit you need to understand this. You can't do it.
You listen. Think it. I am trying to help people.
I love that part at the end.
Yeah.
Here's a yell.
Stop being so hysterical, lady. Right,
exactly. Hysterical women. We're bringing it back. Here's a yell and a slap.
Try to understand why people act the way they act, why they feel the way they feel.
It works better in audio than the video.
Yeah,
you could morph that together with Dave Chappelle saying, "What did the five fingers say to the face?"
Oh yeah, that's always a good joke.
He's being mean.
It is. Mean.
I don't know why he's being mean.
He's being so mean.
He's being mean.
Oh. All right, here's something about not looking good.
She doesn't look good.
Yeah, she doesn't look good. She kept going.
Yeah, that's rude.
She doesn't look good. I think she looks great. In fact, you know what I really like about Lily Taylor is she is she's just growing she's just aging naturally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just letting it go and it's great. Not letting it go, but you know what I mean? Like she doesn't look like a
really,
big plastic
really
face.
Let herself go. Looks great. Yeah.
She looks great. Compelling. I really respect that. All right, gonna stop you now. What?
I'm gonna stop you now.
Oh yeah, that was a dumb line.
Yeah,
I'm gonna stop.
Oh, listen
you.
To that! But listen to that great delivery too.
I'm gonna stop you now.
You're not wrong.
It sounds like it's from like a Pixar movie. It doesn't sound like it's from this movie.
Yeah, and she's very good at delivering plenty of other things. For some reason, it's really stunted here. It's faint. It's weird. Also, this is a Fast and the Furious film. I don't know if you guys knew this, but it's a one of the Fast and the Furious spinoffs. They never talk about it, but here's how we know. So it's about family.
You tell them, Lily. It's about family.
Yeah.
It's always about family.
Barely hear her over the wind.
Yeah. Lily Taylor. You can barely hear her over the wind. I assume she's tiny. She's got to be a little tiny
she's
person.
She's got to be, yeah.
Something about her on screen. I just go.
Let's see. Give me 30 seconds.
I'll bet she's. I'm going to guess.
Liam, can you find me some pictures of her
Liam
feet, too, Randy?
I'm gonna, Jones. Those are all pretty tall.
We'd like pictures of her
five,
feet.
5'2".
5'2"? That's pretty short.
Yeah. That's pretty short.
Yeah. She's with some tall people too, right? All the other actors are.
Neeson
pretty
is
tall.
Pretty tall.
Yeah.
Yes, he is, but like Owen Wilson isn't that tall.
No, he's kind of average.
5'11"?
He's 5. I'll bet he's 5'5", 5'6".
5'11"'s pretty tall when you're 5'2".
So she studied theater at the same Evanston, Illinois theater workshop as John Cusack, Joan Cusack, Ann Cusack, Aidan Quinn, Jeremy Piven, and Laura Flynn Boyle. That's called the Piven Theater Workshop. And I wonder if it's if that's
no
why
way
Piven's in every single John Cusack.
That's true. He is a lot, right?
Yeah.
So wait a minute. So that's family, his dad or something, or family? Can't be him.
Look, and it must be. I'm guessing it's like named after his family.
Yeah, I could see.
Yeah,
that.
He. They made a donation, and now it's the wing.
Founded by Joyce and Bern Piven, who are his parents.
Wow.
Jeremy Piven's parents.
That explains a lot about Piven's rise to actorhood.
Right. His golden time in Entourage.
That's right. Well, yeah, he had his moment there, really. And then he got in trouble, right, for grabbing boobs or something? Something happened with him.
Yeah.
Piven was given
some reality. Let's see. On October 30th, 2017, adult film actress and reality television personality, Ariana Bellomar, made accusations via Twitter that Piven had groped her.
Yeah. Groper stuff.
Groper.
Isn't adult film already reality television?
I don't know. Not a lot of reality going on.
No.
I don't think they're a little less real than reality TV.
Yeah, yes, actually, it's
And even reality, you know, that's saying something because reality TV is not very real either.
I'm adding that to my list right under isn't oatmeal soup.
Yeah, I like that. That's good. Keep that list with you. Here's one final note. This is the music in this has no place in a horror movie. Dunaway, I know you said you liked the music. I did
it
too, but I just think it's in the wrong place. Here's what I'm talking about. I mean, what is this? The Natural 2.0?
Yeah. What you just played sounded like Dances with Wolves.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's a very different movie.
It's a very different vibe. It's great. I love it. Give me some Man from Snowy River vibes any day, whatever. But in your horror movie, what are you doing? Come on.
It's epic.
What are you doing? It's like Harry Potter music. It doesn't belong. I need discordant. What? I need discordant rumbling horror sounds in the background. Barely music at all. That's what I need.
Well, why even watch this movie? It sounds like you already got a million movies that sound like the kind of movie you want to watch.
Because I got to come here and I got to hang out with you and talk about it.
Same old.
All right. Them's your clips. And now this. Yes, that's right. Film Sack Checklist begins here. Owen Wilson's blue sweater. Check. Ooh, that was sexy. Worst spiral staircase ever created, check. And finally, this house is haunted by bad late 90s CGI. Check. Moving on to the Star Trek connections. I know of at least one.
I gave you three.
Okay.
There's three here. We'll start with the actor who played the Hugh Crane.
Yeah.
The actor who
played. Picture.
Yeah. That was an actor named Charles Gunning. And he was in an episode of The Next Generation called The Perfect Mate.
Nice.
The actor who played Dr. Malcolm Coe. What? Koff? What? How do you pronounce that?
I don't know. It looks hard to say.
Michael Cavanaugh. Michael Cavanaugh played Dr. Malcolm something.
Yeah.
And he was the captain of the other ship.
Oh, Keo. It's Keo. I know a Keo. Sorry. Go ahead.
All right. In Next Generation episode Tin Man, which is really a big one, he was Captain Robert DeSoto. But we'll go with our biggest one is Virginia Madsen. She was in an episode of Voyager. She played a character named Kellen. The episode was called Unforgettable, so you better remember it.
Oh, I didn't forget it at all. Very memorable. No, I actually have no memory of it at all.
Yeah, I don't remember it at all.
I'm sure it was fun. She wasn't showing her boobs. She does that a lot, but she didn't do it in that.
Wow. Look, man, you've seen Sideways.
Look, I've seen, well, no, it was like.
Or side boob.
We've seen her here before in some horror movie. Candyman, yeah. In the tub, right? Candy tub. That's a spinoff I'm ready to watch. Candy tub. All right, moving on then. That's a great little list there you got there. Let's move on to the, where is it? Oh, this is the is the part where we talk about the soundtrack, right? I give it an HP for Harry Potter-like. All right, that's what it is. Yeah. Social media post. Let's sum this thing up in 280 characters or less. Let's start with Randy.
The Haunting. Shall I compare thee to a haunted house? Thou art more dumb shit and full of cherubs. Wherefore art thou dead? Surely thine grandpa shan't vex thee with glass, explosive and loud. But hark, yon rating, 17% on Rotten Tomatoes. Alas, no. 'Tis too much.
Also, very hard to find. If you search for The Haunting or Haunting,
yes,
it takes you miles to get to that movie.
It's, really? You get a lot of stuff before it. Like, how about this one instead? Maybe this one? How about this one?
Yeah, it's weird. Once you find it, it's great, but it's really hard to find. Mm-hmm. That was great. My favorite part was, "Thou art more dumb shit." That was great.
That's good. That was good stuff.
Let's now swing it over to Brian Dunaway.
Oh, The Haunting. Having trouble sleeping? That's why God created barbiturates in this movie, honey. Come on, let's burn it down. Hashtag basic Tosser Turner.
It's going to be hard to burn that house down. I just want you to know. You can do it. I think you can do it. But it's going to take you days to burn that house down.
It's going
to
be work. Yeah,
it also feels like the worst follow-up idea after we're locked in. Oh, let's burn the house down.
Let's just burn it down.
Yep.
You are not wrong, sir. Brian Ibbett, it's your turn.
Sure. The Haunting. This movie gives me a massive headache. I feel like I'm about to get hit with the flu.
I get it. That's good. That's actually really good.
Flu.
Yeah, no, that was good. That was good. I like that one a lot. All right. Alternative titles. These were just, these were just handed to me. Let's get a little paper for some Foley work. That was worth it. Okay, paper. Here it is. Alternate titles were almost Schindler's Pissed. Interesting. Or The Haunting of Trope House. I think that one probably would have held if they had stuck with it. Let's move on to emails. We got the email here from the United Kingdom. This is from Anthony Rockhead.
Now.
Yeah, right? They're together, finally.
It's a first.
Yeah, really. Much to the chagrin of many Irish and Scottish folks. Anyway, Anthony Rockhead from London, England says the following. Greetings from Blighty Sackers. So you'll sack any movie with Ving Rhames, eh? Well, here's one for you. I've been meaning to contact you guys for ages about a forgotten Wes Craven movie from the 90s, but never got around to doing so. However, when Randy mentioned on this week's episode that if Ving Rhames is in a film, you should sack it, that was the kick up the backside that sprung me into action. The movie in question is the 1991 horror comedy, The People Under the Stairs.
Oh, yes, we need to watch that. Agreed.
Not only does it star Ving Rhames, but it also has Twin Peaks' Everett McGill, who plays Ed in that, Wendy Robbie, Nadine, and husband and wife again, but this time as deranged, murderous, bizarro versions of their sweet, wholesome Twin Peaks characters.
Really?
Says, I'm surprised this never came up in passing on the show, but trust me when I say it's an eminently sackable movie that you should put on your, and then you put in the uppercase, the list. Thanks for keeping me entertained for all these years. Keep up the fantastic work. Cheers, Anthony. So I got a quick thought here. This is the same Ed and Nadine that also played George's girlfriend's parents on Seinfeld, right? Do I have that right?
Oh, are they really?
I think so. The ones that where she died.
Right. I'm trying to remember.
From the licking the envelopes. I think
you might be right.
I know the mom same. Is. The mom 100%
is her. The mom is right.
But the other guy, I don't know. Everett McGill? Let me look him up.
I don't think it's the same guy.
I can't remember the dad at all now at this point. Jeez.
I remember him from the sign. Wait, yeah, that's definitely not him. Okay. I take everything back I said. That's not him at all. That's Everett McGill. a man who is not that other guy. That would have been great, though, had they done that, is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
May as well cross your streams.
That would be really funny, yeah.
I would have been happy. We'll put it on the list. I think that sounds fun. Never saw it.
It's on AMC Plus right now. And I'm on a free trial of AMC Plus right now, so I'm gonna check it out.
The people. I thought it was I didn't know it was a comedy horror movie. I thought people.
Well, it's Wes Craven. I mean, how it can't be that serious.
Wasn't that a remake then of something? Because there was an older. Oh, hold on, people.
I do like the photo. If you go to the IMDb page, the second photo, which is Sean Whalen, is fantastic.
Oh my gosh, look at that.
Yeah, terrifying.
Yeah, he's into it. Okay. Yeah, there it is. Two adults and a juvenile break into a house occupied by a brother and a sister and their stolen children. There they must fight for their lives. Is that
under the stairs.
But if it's another haunted house, I mean, come on,
I don't know. It's not a haunted house. There's people in it that are bad. How's that?
Well, Sean Whalen is weird looking. Look at him.
He is. He's a Frogert in Lost, and of course, he was one of the science folks in Twister.
That's right.
Before mentioned Twister.
That's right. He does a lot of TikTok stuff now. I see him all the time.
Oh, does he really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he talks about old movies he was in and what it was like to work with so-and-so and that kind of thing.
I ever see that? I just need to get right to that algorithm. And like,
I know. I wish I could almost say, take my profile and transfer it to my friend, because most of what I see is stuff that you would like.
The stuff that I would like, for
as
sure.
As I've said many, many times, hey, TikTok, I have a $1 billion opportunity for you. And that is selling people's For You page algorithm to other people.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. I'm telling you, people, I can't imagine how much people would like if you came along and said, hey, Taylor Swift is on TikTok and you can buy her algorithm. The $500? We'll start there. I mean, people would pay anything for this.
Oh, yeah. Especially idea, you could be a scale too. So for small people, you know, you charge $1 or whatever. But for like big popular
celebrities or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. But then you find out you get Will Smith and you find out he's watching like 13-year-olds dance. Like, that'd be weird. You don't want that.
Oh, God.
I'm not saying
I think you don't make your TikTok profile up for sale if you have some skeletons in your closet.
Yeah, you probably don't involve
skeletons
yourself.
In your algorithm. By the way, the
algorithmic skeletons is a cool concept.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sean Whalen, one last thing about Sean Whalen. Most famous role of Sean Whalen. Mm. It's the guy with peanut butter in his mouth who goes, Amber.
Really?
We got milk ad, yeah. Where he?
Oh, okay, I got you.
I don't remember that at all. That's weird.
You don't remember that at all?
I remember the got milk ads, but I don't remember that one.
Yeah, he had. He basically was listening. He's an Aaron Burr like historian, and he's got all sorts of stuff about the duel. And he gets called with a radio contest just as he takes a big bite of a peanut butter sandwich. And they say, hey, for $1 million, who's the name of the person who shot Alexander Hamilton? And they cut to all of the, you know, all the stuff all over his walls. And he's like, Amber.
Oh,
and he's
like, I found it.
What's that?
Let's try
and
it.
He reaches for the milk and it's empty and he can't.
Okay. Well, I'm going to play a little bit of it. I think I have
it. Please do. Let's see what we got here. I described the entire thing.
And now let's make that random call with today's 10.
Whoops.
Who shot Alexander Hamilton in that famous duel?
Look to the screen. See.
Hello? Hello, for $10,000. Excuse me?
Hold on, let me get some milk.
No! Hold on, let me get some milk. Time's up.
No.
those were great. That's where Michael Bay got his start, was...
Oh, really? Doing those commercials?
Yeah. Videos, music videos, and so got milk commercials.
Not getting in gunfights.
No. here's a text we got from a listener. This is from, I don't think it has a name.
Their name is pronounced weird.
Yeah,
it's signed with an emoji, apparently.
Yeah, it's like
squirting emoji.
God's must be crazy guy or something. Anyway, this text says, for Film Sack, I wanted to confirm Brian Ibbett's assertion from the most recent episode that Finny is a nickname for Finnegan. I have firsthand knowledge. I wanted to suggest a topic for the next roundtable discussion. Randy Scott and Brian started it on Recommendals. The issue of whether or not certain movies hold up, quote unquote. I'll start by saying a movie I loved in the 80s, St. Elmo's Fire, is practically unwatchable for me today. Thanks, your loyal listener. Right. P.S. If you've already done this before, my apologies. I'm thoroughly embarrassed. Well, you shouldn't be.
No.
Yeah, we haven't done it specifically, but we definitely get into it regularly. We always find ourselves talking about things that aren't funny. You know, it's like, oh, that's not fun to talk about. You know, the Revenge of the Nerds doesn't hold up for reasons that just, oh, I can't make fun of that.
Right.
Sorry.
Right. But it might be a fun roundtable to kind of dig harder into that, and why some of them that we think are still good to watch aren't. I'm trying to think of a good example.
I'd like to, you know, in a roundtable like that, I like to talk about Pauly Shore, for instance. Like, what was making him famous in the first place?
Yeah.
You know, like, what? Because that's where that gives you the height from which you can then fall.
Well, it helped to be the son of the mom who owned the most famous comedy club in America. But other than that, I will admit to really liking that shtick for a long time. I liked.
I still like it. Days. Like, was it Son-in-Law? That's a fun.
Those are fun to watch and go back to. I guess. I don't know. Are they, though? Are they? Like, your jury duty? Is that any good? His jury duty?
I'll watch Biodome again, purely just for how bad it is, and Kylie Minogue.
Oh, we could do that. We could do that. Yeah, we haven't done that. Let's do that.
Biodome would be a good one.
Yes, I mean, that's a comedy that's worth sacking.
Where is he wheezed the juice?
In your backyard. Just
in Biodome. Yeah.
It's clearly a topic we can talk about because we're doing it right now. So, like, let's see what we can.
Yeah, we'll come up with something. Next time we do one of these roundtables, we'll add it to the list and see if it fits. I think that's a good idea. Thank you so much, nameless one, who should not be embarrassed thoroughly or otherwise. Let's move on now. Oh, 801-471-0462 is where that came to us. And emails come to us at filmsack@gmail.com. I want to thank our regular group of wonderful, fantastic, and incredible patrons that we have. For some reason, the site is not letting me see new names this week, and I don't know why.
Apologies.
A bunch
of stuff over at Patreon. Yep.
Yeah, they changed a bunch of things. I think there's a couple of bugs. But when I find out what you are, what your names are, we will coalesce them for next week, and we'll mention them then and welcome you to the fray and anyone else who joins between now and then. And why should you? Well, an upcoming host special from Randy. No commercials ever. Pre-show content every single week. We did some of that today. Had a blast talking about coffee things. Right?
Yeah, we did today. We had a blast talking about the thing that Randy discovered.
Oh,
he
right.
Unlocked the key.
Pumpkin cream and all that.
Oh, right. Yes.
The tea.
Oh,
that's funny.
Yeah. So you want to hear about that? Good news. You can listen to that and all our old ones, too.
And there's discussions on the Patreon. You can go to Patreon and talk to other FilmSack patrons who discuss each post.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And all that stuff is in perpetuity. It's all archived, so you can see and hear all of it. No reason not to do it. So go check that out. Also, I'm sending out a movie-related Halloween art print in the mail this month. So if you want all those cool things, just sign up today at patreon.com/FilmSack. In the meantime, our next film will be...
1998, Child's Play.
Child's Play. The OG.
The OG. We've seen the sequel. Now it's time to watch the original.
It's time to understand what we watched.
I thought the original was in the 80s, and I've been so wrong about this for so long. I thought
barely Chucky, into the 90s.
Well, 98's pretty far into the 90s, isn't it?
Barely into the 90s. It's not the 90s until like 2002 for me.
It's not the 90s. It's not the 90s till I tell you it's the 90s.
That's right.
I don't think I've seen many sequels to Child's Play, never seen the original.
Yeah, I've never seen the original.
I like the original.
The only one I'd seen is the one I watched with you guys.
Nice.
I've seen the original many times.
Directed by Tom Holland? No, not that one.
Nope, different one.
This Tom Holland was responsible for the TV miniseries The Stand, which was very divisive.
Oh, yeah.
He directed Thinner. We sacked that movie.
He directed Psycho 2.
Yeah.
Wrote and directed Psycho 2.
Which also
great.
Wasn't that great? This is all right. It's okay. Yeah. Fright Night. We all love Fright Night from 85. Big fan.
Yeah.
Remember that? And what else? Other stuff. He did things.
Hatchet 2? Did he?
I
don't think he directed Hatchet, but he directed Hatchet 2. Okay. Great.
He's still busy. He made The Timekeepers of Eternity. He made something called Rock, Paper, Scissors.
Shoot.
Yeah, what's got to be weird for Tom Holland, the director, is Tom Holland, the actor. Like, that's just weird. If a really hot young actor, like someone just burning the world down, came along and his name was Brian Ibbett. Like, it's so weird.
Well, the good news is that there's such a generational gap. He was born in 43. Tom Holland's like, what, 12? Or I don't know what he is. 20 something.
Yeah, Tom.
23 or 5 or 6 something.
25 or 6 to 4. Let's go. There we go.
So I don't think the guy's probably that worried about it. But he's from Poughkeepsie, New York, and that's kind of cool. All right, moving on. Filmsack.com. That's our website. You can get all our stuff there. All the links are there. The Patreon's there too. All our contact stuff. All of it. So go there. Filmsack.com. Leave us reviews.
And numbers, everything.
Wherever you get your podcast, that'd be great too. That is going to do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Randy.
We don't have time for baby talk.
That's so true. We'll see you next time.
Get more at frogpants.com.
Wow.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford Tough, Built Ford Proud.